Live from Chicago, this is Bruce Dumont with our Beyond the Beltway analysis of national politics, featuring occasional injections of rum and innuendo, all offered up by our panel of political insiders, pundits, power brokers, public servants, and most importantly, plain-speaking Americans from coast to coast. Tonight featuring commentary by Republican Dan Proft, Democrat Bob Creamer, political columnist Phil Kattner, and live reports from yours truly in St. Paul, Minnesota, site of the Republican National Convention. Now your guest host for tonight's program, political consultant and analyst for the morning news on WGN Television in Chicago, Chris Roebling.
Thanks very much, Bruce Dumont. This is Chris Roebling live from Chicago, and thanks very much to all of you listening across America. I think all of us are very well aware of the fact that 300 miles southeast of New Orleans, Louisiana, right now is a Category 3 hurricane. Gustav is moving about 17, 18 miles an hour towards New Orleans. I had a professor in college who used to say, the first determinant of history is geography. And this week, we have the confluence of the weather patterns of the Gulf of Mexico and the Republican National Committee Convention up in St. Paul, Minnesota, just 1,200 miles up the very same Mississippi River. They are meeting on the Mississippi River up in St. Paul. So I want to start off this evening's conversation, and we'll be getting to issues like Sarah Palin, Barack Obama's speech, the success or lack thereof of the Democrats in Denver. And I want to start with the success or lack thereof that the Republicans, who have announced this afternoon that they are pulling back on their schedule for tomorrow, Monday, their opening day, to just the legal essentials. How is it, and I'm asking each of you, our august panel, Bob Creamer, Phil Kattner, Dan Proft, thanks each for being here. How do the Republicans get what they need to get out of this convention when you have this kind of variable thrown into the mix literally at the last minute? We'll start with you, Bob Creamer.
Well, first, of course, everybody has to hope that this is not a disaster and that a lot of people on the Gulf of Mexico or on coast don't end up being in a terrible situation as a result. So that said, I think there's some upsides and downsides from the Republican point of view. On the one hand, they avoid having George Bush and Dick Cheney addressing the convention, which I think is a huge problem for them. On the other hand, of course, they may miss out on a couple of days of repetitive messaging that is extremely important in terms of persuasion.
Phil Kattner.
I think it could be a huge advantage. I think conventions are outdated. I think they're boring. I think they don't do much to really help either party. I think this is a chance for them to rethink how you do this. And if they can come up with a way to make this more relevant to the people at home, they might actually get people watching. I think they made the first choice, I think was a great one, to postpone most of the activities on Monday. And I think now what they ought to do is rethink what they were planning to do for the rest of the convention, and if necessary, build it around this potential national problem, and show people how the Republican Party would deal with a problem like this after Bush.
Dan Proft.
Yeah, I mean, obviously to echo Bob's point about you hope that it's the damage is de minimis, but in addition to that, part of the story in terms of the political advantage, part of the story is of Gustav is what the Republicans are doing vis-a-vis their convention. And I think it's recasting one of the negatives that Republican Party has in terms of the perception of how the Bush administration handled Katrina. And now you have a lot of the, not just John McCain and Sarah Palin, but also Bobby Jindal, Haley Barbour, some of the bigger ticket people down in the Gulf Coast for the Republican Party. And there's focus on them, what they're doing. And it seems to be, in terms of the run-up of the coverage to Gustav touching down, that some lessons from Katrina have been learned, and Republicans in this case are really at the forefront of it.
I spent the day watching CNN and Fox News and all of the continuous news channels, and I have to say the various briefings that have been going on illustrate to me that there have been many lessons learned. I mean, are you guys getting a sense the government's act is better together?
Well, we'll see. That's yet to be seen. I do think that it's this is a huge reminder on the anniversary of Katrina of one of the most catastrophic failures in the Bush administration's period in office. The other thing is, John McCain was in Mississippi today having his briefing, there are a lot of people in Mississippi remember that he has voted systematically against aid for Katrina victims and to rebuild New Orleans in the Gulf Coast. So that's a problem.
The failure, there was plenty of blame to grow around with respect to Katrina. We'll remember that Ray Nagin, who's the current mayor of New Orleans, was the mayor then, who's a Democrat. We'll remember that Mary Landrieu, who's a Democrat, was the governor of Louisiana, and she got run out on a rail, basically, for her performance during Katrina.
Mary's the senator.
Kathleen Blanco. Right. I'm sorry.
Kathleen Blanco.
This was the response to Katrina was a bipartisan failure. The response, if it's done right this time, hopefully will be a bipartisan success. And it looks like, again, that a lot of lessons have been learned, basically, as you said, Chris, on the briefings that have been provided across the cable news channels to date.
Should hope that's the case.
Yeah, Phil, I want to introduce you to the national audience. People are listening on POTUS 08. They're listening all over the country. Phil Kadner, you are an established and highly respected chronicler of the political life of the great region we call Chicagoland, and your platform is the Daily Southtown newspaper. We have an announcement this afternoon, not just from the RNC, but the networks are saying that the network news anchors are departing the Twin Cities. They're going down to the Gulf area, and they're going to be leading their newscast tomorrow. And this seems appropriate because we're talking about landfall approximately 1 p.m. tomorrow, Monday afternoon, from the Gulf region. What do the Republicans do with that lack of coverage coming on this the night before?
I'm not sure there's a whole lot they can do. I think what they have to do is approach this seriously. Instead of approaching it like a convention, and I'm sure they have their people telling them, this is a news event. And that means there are opportunities for people to get on camera, make serious statements, and this may be a better opportunity than McCain could ever get to show people what kind of president, what kind of leader he would be, because this is a crisis situation. He's been put in a very challenging position, and now he has an opportunity to show what a leader might do in a situation like this. It will be interesting to see how he handles this challenge. It's got to be very frustrating for the Republicans. But again, they're going to have to deal with it. You can't ignore this situation.
But the flip side, though, too, is that you have, just as with McCain's selection of Sarah Palin, you've kind of identified a rising star in the Republican Party. You have the opportunity to put another rising star front and center in the Republican Party, and that's Bobby Jindal, the governor of Louisiana. So to the extent of trying to tell America who the Republican Party is, what they're about, and what its future looks like, there is opportunity here, even in the midst of obviously some concern about this crisis.
But you got to be very careful not to look like you're trying to make political hay out of this. That's why you got to treat it like a serious event.
Well,
and
that's why Barack Obama did not go there today. I mean, his concern was, and expressed very clearly, that the diversion of resources to provide protection for the whole entourage would be a diversion from the uses that it should be put to in terms of evacuation and so forth.
Yeah, let me bring up the Barack Obama situation. We're going to have to talk about this more after the break coming up. But just briefly, it's an opportunity for Barack Obama and Joe Biden as well, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's an opportunity for them to portray the kind of bipartisanship that I think they've made the critical element of their candidacy.
It's Beyond the Beltway, and you're getting some first-rate political analysis. My name's Chris Roebling. I'm sitting in for Bruce Dumont, who's up in Minneapolis, St. Paul. He'll be bringing us a conversation with David Keene in just a few minutes, chairman of the American Conservative Union. We will be back after these words.
You've heard the horror stories about meth. It's a powerful, dangerous, and highly addictive drug that's having a serious impact on our communities and horrible effects on families across the country. But there is reason for hope. Treatment for meth addiction is available, and it works. All it takes is someone to care. If you know someone using meth, get involved and help them get on the path to recovery. For more information, visit methresources.gov or call 800-662-HELP. Sponsored by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
It's time to stop what you're doing and go red for women.
Go red.
Start loving your heart today. Visit goredforwomen.org.
Go red.
And take the Go Red Heart Checkup. Get to know your own heart.
Go red.
The American Heart Association invites you to help stop heart disease.
Go red.
to Go Red for Women and give your heart the love it deserves.
Good evening, America. It's Beyond the Beltway. I'm Chris Roebling, sitting in for your host, Bruce Dumont, who's up in the Twin Cities. We'll be hearing from him in just a couple of minutes. Our expert panel tonight is led by political columnist Phil Kadner of the Daily Southtown, Democratic campaign consultant Bob Kramer, and Republican campaign consultant Dan Proft. Thanks all for being here. Joining us on the line right now from the Twin Cities is the chairman of the American Conservative Union, David Keene. David, tell us, what is the reaction by the people on the ground up there in the Twin Cities to this imminent storm that looks so powerful as it bears down on the Gulf Coast and especially New Orleans?
Well, as you know, during the course of the day, there have been the convention leadership, the party leadership, and representatives of the candidate have been meeting to discuss what should be done. A number of the parties that one associates with conventions have been canceled. Tomorrow's evening session of the convention has been canceled. I think that the interests of the party and of the country are best served by looking at this as a serious problem. And what you don't want, if you're in charge of the convention, is pictures of partygoers being sort of flip-flopped on the screen with pictures of disaster down in New Orleans. So from that standpoint, there's concern. But as I think one of your guests during the previous segment indicated, this has to be looked at seriously, and it's a way for the candidates, in a sense, to show something about how they might handle such problems in the future. I know that key to discussions up here by telephone have been Haley Barbour of Mississippi, the governor there, who did such an outstanding job during Katrina, particularly as compared to the way it was handled by officials in New Orleans. He has as much sense as to what needs to be done and how to handle these things as anyone. So I think at this point, the delegates themselves as well as the leadership are looking at it and saying, Let's worry about our fellow citizens first. We do have to get the business of the convention out of the way. You can cancel parties and you can cancel some of the speeches and the rest, but conventions do have some legal obligations and some business to take care of. The platform has to be adopted. The rules have to be adopted. and the delegates have to vote on the nominees. Right. But that can be handled in a shortened way, and I think it is going to be.
Okay, great. Now, David, I want to ask you to react to Michael Moore, who I'm sure is one of your favorite filmmakers. On MSNBC earlier today, he said, quote, Hurricane Gustav, is, quote, proof that there is a God in heaven.
We should get him together with Pat Robertson and the late Jerry Falwell. As you remember, at one point, I think Pat Robertson said that a hurricane was sent to Long Island by God. It's nice to know that Michael Moore is in close touch with folks like this, but I think that you have to deal with natural disasters as they come up, and neither try to use them for political purposes nor chortle because you think that they might impact someone you don't like adversely. So I've never taken Michael Moore very seriously, and I'm not sure the American people do it either. It was interesting because we just before this program, I came from a preview showing of a movie called An American Carol, which is a spoof of Michael Moore, and maybe Americans ought to watch that when they think about it.
Dan Proft here has a question for you, David. Go ahead.
Sure, Dan.
Michael Moore is a spoof of himself, but
that's right.
My question, David, especially representing American Conservative Union and kind of the rock rib conservative base of the party, is just switching gears a little bit from Gustav, is the excitement about Sarah Palin. I think kind of from what I've witnessed and what I've been reading in the blogosphere, for the first time in this campaign, you actually see people, conservatives, excited about promoting John McCain and now Sarah Palin, and not just about stopping Barack Obama. And I'm wondering if you're kind of getting the same sense of that at the convention.
Well, that's exactly right, and that's what was missing from this campaign. There were a lot of Republicans, particularly within the party base, who were saying, "Well, we're going to do the right thing. We're going to go out and we're going to vote for John McCain because we don't particularly like Barack Obama and what he stands for." But we're either going to hold our nose or we're going to do it because of our obligation. You didn't get a big sense as you traveled or talked around the country or even to the delegates as they came into this town that they were excited in a positive way. And the problem the McCain campaign faced was that, usually disliking the other guy is not enough to win. It may be enough to put you into the game, but you also have to have that positive support and that energy. You've got to have people that will drag their neighbors to the polls, that will give the money, that'll do all the things that go into making up a successful campaign, if you in fact think it's going to be close, as most people think this one will be. And the Sarah Palin selection did that. I mean, it was interesting. Coincidentally, the party and the McCain campaign had a luncheon scheduled for conservative leaders on that noon, right after she was named.
On Friday,
and the main speaker was to be Dan Coats, the former senator from Indiana, who told me later that he had prepared notes to try and get the people attending the luncheon to swallow Joe Lieberman, and wasn't looking forward to the reaction. Instead, as soon as the lunch convened, Jim Dobson, the evangelical leader from Colorado, got up and said, those of you who are here know that I said I'd never vote for John McCain, and I want you to know that I really hate flip-floppers, but you have to be able to learn from things as they develop, and I'm here to tell you I'm for him now. At the same time, Sarah Palin, and this was the unique part about her within the base of the party, at the same time, many of the Ron Paul people, the libertarians, were also excited about Sarah Palin. She appeals to both of them in different ways. If you go back to her past, not only is she an anti-establishment figure, but on the national scene, before she was a national figure, she had, in one race had supported Pat Buchanan, and another one she'd supported Steve Forbes. So she sort of had the social conservative and the libertarian background.
All of this conservative talk is driving our friend Bob Kramer, a longtime Democrat campaign guy, nuts. So he's got to get in here, David, with a question for you.
I would hope. Here's the thing, David. I mean, I'll grant you that she helps mobilize the base of your party. But I think the other things that were intended are not going to be successful. On the one hand, I assume that the gang who was running the McCain campaign wanted to try and make this a more pro-change-looking candidacy. And the problem is that people want change in the economy, and Sarah Palin completely supports down the line the failed Bush-McCain policies from an economic point of view. And of course, he's taken the fundamental comparative advantage he had off the table, the experience question. And now, as a consequence, the entire focus of the campaign is going to be this central question: do we want more of the same or the change we need, which is the Obama? That's where Obama wants this conversation. The other thing is, you know, the experience of Sarah Palin, you know, there is a threshold to be commander in chief. I mean, Barack Obama has, I think, passed that by most people's standards in the United States, at least according to the polling. And Sarah Palin, you know, she makes Barack Obama look like Bobby Byrd in terms of experience.
I have a question for Mr. Keene first.
Hold on, if I can respond to that.
This is just to go on the Bob a little bit.
This is Phil Kadner from the Daily South Times.
And that is, how do you deal with the inexperience factor?
I'd much rather have a vice president
that needs to be mentored by a president than a president who needs to be mentored by the vice president, which is, in a sense, what the Democrats have. But, you know, I think the Democrats obviously would like to structure the debate and the paradigm exactly as it was just described, but I'm not sure that's what we're looking to. Anyone who doesn't think, who thinks that Sarah Palin and John McCain aren't in favor of change hasn't been around for very long. Sarah Palin began her career as a whistleblower, blowing the whistle on a Republican state chairman who ended up getting fined and never spoke to her again. She took on, both at the city level and at the gubernatorial level, she beat a former United States senator who was governor of her state in the primary and held him to 18%, and she now has a popularity rating of over 80. Barack Obama doesn't have all that much experience either. Let's not suggest that either one of them have been at it for years and years. But the fact of the matter is that she is a very attractive candidate. And the early sort of criticism that you hear coming from the Obama camp, somebody said, well, she went to the University of Idaho, and then she was only, at the outset, only ran this town of 9,000 or 10,000 people. You know, there are a lot of people in this country who live in small towns, who live across the country, who've already been a little put off by the elitism of a campaign and a candidate who suggests that out of their frustrations they huddle in church with their guns. And now we've got people suggesting that anyone who comes from such an environment, who comes from a small town, who has those kinds of values, isn't somebody who can be trusted as the leader of the country. And I think that's going to play well.
I don't blame the party for trying to get somebody who represents something other than a guy who can't remember how many houses he owns. But look, here's the bottom line. From the experience point of view, 20 months ago she was running a town of 9,000 on a part-time basis. She has no foreign policy experience at all. This is a man who's 72 years old. The odds are at least 1 in 6, according to sheer actuarial tables, that she would have to replace him as the commander-in-chief of the United States. Does anyone believe she can be commander-in-chief?
And have you looked at your nominee lately? This guy, when she was spearheading a $40 billion natural gas pipeline through Alaska, which is about energy independence, not just for Alaska, but for this entire nation, tackling issues of national import, Barack Obama's running a rec league in Kenwood. I mean, give me a break. This is a guy who had 7 years of unremarkable, undistinguished career in the state Senate. He's got 2 years in the U.S. Senate.
And
Sarah Palin has more executive experience than anybody in this race.
Dan Proft and Bob Kramer and Phil Kadner are going to be back on the other side of this break, but we say a warm farewell to David Keene. David, enjoy the rest of your time in the Twin Cities as you deal with the Republican convention and the effects of Gustav.
Thank you. Anytime.
Great to have Dave Keene on. Ladies and gentlemen, you are tuned in to Beyond the Beltway with Bruce Dumont. My name's Chris Roebling. We'll be hearing from Bruce Dumont in just a few minutes. He'll be live from the Twin Cities.
When was the last time someone offered you a second chance to save thousands of dollars? If you owe the IRS or state at least $15,000, American Tax Relief is offering you a second chance to eliminate up to 85% of your delinquent taxes. Thousands of honest, hardworking Americans have turned to American Tax Relief for the help they need. Look, your tax problem isn't going to go away. In fact, it's only going to get worse unless you get help. Call 1-800-449-1415 for a one-time professional fee. American Tax Relief can get you the second chance you've never had before to save up to 85% on the taxes you owe. Get the second chance you deserve and save up to 85% on your delinquent taxes. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation to see how much money they can save you. Call 1-800-449-1415. That's 1-800-449-1415.
This is Beyond the Beltway, and sitting in for Bruce Dumont, my name is Chris Roebling. Around the table with me tonight, Republican campaign consultant Dan Proff, Democratic consultant Bob Kramer, Daily Southtown political columnist Phil Kadner. Joining us on the live line now from the Twin Cities, we have Bruce Dumont himself. Bruce, welcome to your own program.
Good evening. It's always a pleasure to be on the show.
It feels strange without you, my friend, and it's good to have you back.
It's also kind of bizarre to be surrounded by about 15,000 Republicans who have gathered here in the Minneapolis Convention Center for the all-delegation party. Obviously, there's a number of delegations that haven't shown up yet, given the decision to cut back some of the scheduling for the next couple of days, given the impending hurricane.
Now, what do you find is the sort of attitude of the delegates? I mean, they got there with anticipation, but presumably they all understand the seriousness of what the Gulf Coast is facing.
Yes, they do, and I would say that I, at least in my conversations, haven't heard too much discussion of that today, because it's been very low-key, even in the Illinois delegation. People started to come in, today. So it was relatively low-key at the hotel today, and the discussion, however, is about Sarah Palin, and I would describe that, if you talk to some women seem to be very excited about it. Republican men seem to be somewhat a little more reserved about it, have a little, concerned, a little less enthusiastic, but I think everybody realizes that, politics 101 says, first, you have to solidify the base, and Palin seems to have solidified the Republican base, and the enthusiasm level, at least with women, is very high.
I guess that was my point that we were starting to get to earlier. Both of these candidates, Barack Obama and John McCain, have entered their respective conventions with identifiable and discernible issues related to their base. On Barack's case, it was the Hillary issue. To a lesser reported sense or extent, I would say it was there were some elements of the leadership in the civil rights community who were ticked off that Barack had not sort of crossed all of the T's and dotted the I's the way they thought he should. And certainly there was some concern in the Latino delegations over there. Here with McCain, it's this question of the right wing, basically, not feeling completely supportive, despite McCain's many conservative positions, because of his other non-conservative. Are you seeing any signs that Palin will actually pay off in unifying the party?
Well, I know. I definitely think that she will. And again, you know, my initial reaction was, what is he thinking? I mean, if you're down 15 or 20 points, you throw a Hail Mary, and this sort of maybe shakes up the situation. So given the closeness of the race, it kind of surprised me what he did. And again, like others, I think I have a concern about the heartbeat away issue. However, I think the more I look at it and the more I think about it, I think the one thing that he was able to do is, I think he's been able to basically steal the change issue from Barack Obama. I mean, Barack Obama had an opportunity in his running mate to send a signal of change, and he picks Joe Biden. John McCain had an opportunity to sort of, you know, talk about it. I think where it's lost a little bit is the issue of judgment. I think the issue of judgment may go back as an advantage to Obama, because people might say, well, does it really represent good judgment that the first decision you make, selecting a running mate, is really more about politics than preparation to step in should the great chest pain arrive? And so I think there's a shifting back and forth on that. But what I hear and what I think, and to me the strength of the selection will all be about whether or not they can make the reform issue. If they can make this about reform and significant change and speak to Sarah Palin's record, her record as a reformer and as a change agent in Alaska, is really second to none when you look at what governors have done thus far, and certainly in their first 2 years in office.
Kramer's chomping at the bit.
Well, you know, I mean, Bruce, I agree with you on the judgment question. I mean, he met with her. He's met her twice. I mean, people have most people know their barista at Starbucks better than he knows this person, you know?
Right.
And so that's a judgment issue. The change question, though, he took off the table this any comparative advantage on experience, and now admitted that the issue is entirely the change question. The problem is, it's kind of one and a half things people care most about. A, the economy, and B, foreign policy. They want change in the economy, and they want change in foreign policy. And these two both have bought onto the failed policies that have taken what was the most successful economy in the history of humanity at the end of 1990s and turned it into a terrible economy for most people.
We're growing 3%.
Not for normal people. Most
people are talking about the macro.
One other aspect of this, which ties into the economy, and I think it ties into the other big issue of the campaign, and that is energy and energy independence. I mean, I've seen the interview that was done with Marie Bartiromo and Governor Palin, and I will tell you, when they get into a discussion of energy issues, I mean, I think she's going to whip anybody that wants to get into a debate with her on that issue.
Yeah, the Bartiromo and the Kudlow. On the Kudlow interview, I think she makes points that Joe Biden has never taken the time to learn. But Dan Proft, you've heard Bruce, you've heard Bob. What's your
I'm going to take a page out of Bob Kramer's book, and I'm not going to ask a question. I'm going to make a statement. Sarah Palin, the interesting thing about her is the reaction that she's getting. The reaction to me, Republicans' reaction to Joe Biden was, well, okay, Obama apparently doesn't believe his own rhetoric. He just pressed rewind and got a 35-year Washington insider when he says Washington is broken and it's the insiders that's the problem. Sarah Palin, on the other hand, you know, is a complete game changer for the reasons that some of what Bruce talked about, some of what we've talked about here, because she did exercise that personal judgment. If that's the criteria, on which Obama is sailing, then she fits that bill as well. She had the personal judgment to stand up against her own party. She had the personal judgment to reject pork from Washington, earmarks from Washington for the bridge to nowhere. She had the personal judgment on issues like energy independence and forward looking.
I'm going to jump on, and I'm going to say this to all four of you, because we are Chicago people, and Chicago has to play a very special role in all five of us. because Chicago has to play this special role in this particular election. She and Barack have both been active for a little bit more than the last decade. Barack Obama made a deal with the Chicago establishment, and he has moved up because of it, and he gained a platform because of that. There, if he has not encountered corruption in his 10 years in Chicago politics, I really wonder what he has been doing. He needs a new set of eyeglasses. She has encountered corruption, and I used to live in Alaska, and I will tell you, it's pretty thick up there, and she exposed it, and she made it stick, and there she leaves a wake of an attorney general, a state party chairman. She got rid of a governor. I mean, how can you say that, Barack has office. Experience if he's made a deal with the Daily Machine corruption?
Well, then she apparently took office and used the authority of her office to try and continue a vendetta against her former brother.
Oh, that's such a come on.
And that's why she has an 85% approval rating from the people who know her best.
That's such a joke. That's such a political witch hunt.
Most people in the United States will learn a lot about Sarah Palin from that investigation. And
they're going to learn
in this particular case, Bob, at least with the preliminary report that I heard on NBC was granted she may have done that, but the person that she went after was someone who had been accused of abusing his wife and child with a taser gun.
Right.
So I'm not so sure there's going to be
her
influence is used to get rid of her. But I do believe I agree with what Chris said. Is I do think that. On this issue of reform, if it's going to bring up maybe a potential soft side of Barack Obama, how aggressive he was, in promoting reformers, that's an issue. But again, I think the key thing is, remember, we've got to be comparing presidential candidates with presidential candidates.
Right.
And I think the other thing this does bring up again, because it is the heartbeat away question, and that is, I think it reinforces the age issue.
Absolutely.
For John McCain, which I don't think necessarily is a plus.
Absolutely.
But when I saw her the other day make her entrance under the stage in Ohio, my first reaction was, my God, he picked Tina Fey.
Right. I thought she looked a lot. I got to ask you this, Bruce. There are different kinds of Republicans, like there are different kinds of Democrats. There are establishment Republicans and there are reform Republicans, and both come in different flavors, moderate, liberal, conservative, not many liberals left. But what are the establishment Republicans who tend to hang out at things like conventions, what do they think about this? Because he really sucker punched all establishment Republicans, whether
yes.
they're Missouri, Maine, California. What's that? How's that going down?
Well, I would say that, I haven't heard too much feedback yet, but I was with what might be described as a couple of establishment Republicans when I heard the news back, last Friday. Their immediate reaction was, "Oh, why? This. Why did he have to do this?" And so, amongst the country club, I don't agree. I don't think it's going to be a popular choice. John McCain did not get to where he is by appealing to the country club folks, and so, But when it comes right back to it, they're not likely to be with Barack Obama come November. They may hold their nose and vote Republican, but. The surprise issue here is what everybody's talking about. And had anybody else been selected, it either would have been ho-hum or they would have gone into a long period of playing defense. I mean, I think they would have gone probably a couple of weeks just playing back some of Mitt Romney's statements. And as you know, I thought Mitt Romney would have been a good choice.
I don't think McCain had to pick anybody to prove that he's a change agent. This woman is no more of a change agent than McCain has been his entire life. McCain's point was that Obama was not experienced. He was. That was an important issue. He's now told the world, no, it's not an important issue. And the people I'm talking to, the average guys, are just shaking their heads saying, he told us this was important. He named someone who's not qualified for the job. How can we trust him?
The phone lines are open. We say thank you, Bruce Dumont, and you're going to be back on the program shortly. Coming up next, we're going to have more conversation with Dan Proft, Phil Kadner, and Bob Kramer. It's Chris Roebling sitting in for Bruce Dumont on Beyond the Beltway.
For free confidential small business advice, call SCORE at 800-634-0245 or log on to score.org. Every year, thousands of people get help from SCORE when starting or growing their companies, and you can be one of them.
My SCORE counselor taught me how to create a business plan and make sound financial projections so that I could get a small business loan. I don't think I could have approached my bank so confidently without SCORE's help.
SCORE mentors can help with business planning, cash flow management, and market analysis.
My SCORE mentor walked me through the steps of identifying a market, researching the competition, pricing my product, and so much more.
Call SCORE at 800-634-0245 to meet with experts who have been in your shoes.
All I really needed was a sounding board for my ideas, someone I could trust. My SCORE counselor talked me through my business questions and gave me the courage I needed to expand.
If you're a small business owner or thinking about starting a company, call SCORE today, 800-634-0245, or visit SCORE.org for free confidential advice. SCORE is a nonprofit association and a resource partner with the U.S. Small Business Administration.
The program is Beyond the Beltway with Bruce Dumont. The guest host this week is yours truly, Chris Roebling. The panel, Republican Dan Proft, Democrat Bob Cramer, and political columnist for the Daily Southtown and the great southwest side of the city of Chicago and the growing southwest suburbs, Phil Kadner. Now to phone calls. Our number, 800-723-8289, 800-723-8289. We also love your emails at btb@museum.tv. That is btb@museum.tv. And we are going now, hopefully, to Steve down in Sun City, El Paso, Texas. Steve, tell us, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, hello, everybody. I'm a fiscal conservative ex-Alaskan.
Okay. Ex-Alaskan.
I've been via correspondence with friends who live in Wasilla. And conversations. I've actually followed Sarah Palin's career for many years.
And you think?
Well, we really like her positions on many social issues, like big Second Amendment supporter, great on anti-corruption, but she's been responsible for some of the biggest tax increases in Alaskan history. And it's no wonder that most of Alaskans love her, because she taxed the heck out of the oil companies and took that money and gave it out to everybody in the form of $1,200 checks.
Bob Cramer, this should be your candidate. Bob Cramer has a long history of hating oil companies. Come on, Bob.
But it's true. I want to say this, though. I mean, one of the differences in Alaska and the rest of the country, the lower 48, is, I mean, Alaska benefits fundamentally from higher oil prices. I mean, from the point of view of the...
Right. It's like Russia.
Budget, it's like it's a producing country.
It comes from Russia.
And, well, that's her only claim to foreign policy experience is that she lives across the Bering Strait from Russia, I think. But that changes your perspective from the point of view of what normal people in the rest of this country experience. I mean, they're not in favor of higher oil prices, and it's that I think that will color her approach to things. The key thing here that we just got to understand is when people talk about change, they mean the economy, and they mean foreign policy, and in neither of those areas will she or McCain bring change.
Let's go to Bob, listening to us in Chicago on WLS. Bob, what's on your mind?
A couple of different things, but the one thing I definitely had to point out is, from a standpoint of judgment, the idea that it's bad judgment on John McCain's part to pick Sarah Palin, which I don't think is showing itself in polls and in fundraising just in the last 48 hours, it was probably a brilliant pick. But for someone like Barack Obama to turn around and pick a guy who almost can't tell his own life story straight, and who's already in trouble for plagiarism, who is known to be a windbag and a loudmouth, who has an even less distinguished career in the Senate after being there for 30 years, I think, the whole thing about judgment, and David Keene put it best, I'd rather have a vice presidential candidate getting mentored by a president who knows what he's doing than vice versa. But the other thing that I think everyone's missing here, and that is that McCain didn't do this because, you know, he needed a game changer. McCain was probably comfortable winning this election, picking somebody from the establishment like Romney, even though that would have been a mistake relative to this. What you've got now is a potential huge game changer in really firing people up, and McCain's going for the whole enchilada, and more power to him for it.
Okay, that's Bob in Chicago. Dan Prof?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think the interesting thing, like I started to mention before, the reaction to Sarah Palin tells you a lot. And I think the reaction from the Democrats, with how kind of vitriolic the attacks are about, she's, first of all, she's a right-wing fanatic. Then she's in the pockets of the oil company, even though she raised taxes on the oil company. Then she's inexperienced and doesn't know anything about foreign policy. Then she's too, I mean, it's all over the place, all attacking Sarah Palin personally, not about her relationship to McCain. And the interest that tells me that it was a great selection. And my personal opinion is that it was the best possible pick McCain could have made. Anybody else would have fit into the stereotype of the Republican Party in a year where stereotypes are being broken, and it would have been a tragic mistake. Sarah Palin, McCain has laid out the future of the party and the future of this country. It was a brilliant pick, and it's going to manifest itself as such.
Next up on the call line, we're talking to New Hampshire, where all of this got started many months ago, just after Iowa. Steve, tell us what's on your mind.
Yeah, well, I think I only caught the latter part of the previous caller, but I have a feeling if he could compare Palin to Biden, he's smoking something. I think this shows a lot. And first of all, no question, give credit. It has certainly inspired the base of a Republican Party and has given a lot of excitement. So I grant that. But to have Palin be the pick, and the basis of Cindy McCain on George Stephanopoulos this morning, indicating, well, that she's really got some foreign policy experience because Russia is near Alaska, is absurd.
Okay.
There's a real question about the vetting process on Palin. You know, and it's indicative, or may be indicative, of McCain's management style. Now, one thing, you could say that Obama is inexperienced. But he has run a campaign against a political juggernaut in terms of the Clintons. He managed a huge campaign, hired the right people.
We got to go.
Guided it. Okay, but in terms of Palin and the vetting process, there is this issue about Troopergate. It is not as minor an issue as someone earlier thought it was.
All right. We're gonna stay tuned for that report. That was Steve up in New Hampshire. Phil, I know you wanted to react.
I think he touched on several things that are important points. I think Republicans are going to sound silly when they start saying it's not all right for Obama to not have experience, but it's okay for Palin not to have the experience because she's going to only be the vice president.
That's not what we're saying.
But what if you say Palin's
experience? That's what I hear you say.
No, but what, here's,
that's not what we're saying at all.
That's exactly what I hear you saying.
No, we're not saying
that. We've got less than a minute. Hurry up.
We're saying personal. If personal judgment is the benchmark, then let's talk about personal judgment. And let's compare.
I was talking about experience, not personal judgment. Is experience important or isn't it?
Well, I think that the voters have clearly sent the message that experience this cycle is less important than personal judgment,
okay.
And McCain got the message.
All right, so if it's not important for both sides, that's interesting.
We're going to try and have a little more conversation on that after the top of the hour. You are tuned in to Beyond the Beltway with Bruce Dumont. Sitting in for Bruce, it's Chris Roebling, live from Chicago with this wonderful panel, political columnist Phil Kadner of the Daily Southtown, Democrat Bob Kramer, and Republican Dan Proft. Bruce himself is in the Twin Cities, and we'll be hearing from him again in the next hour. So stay tuned and keep that phone number nearby. It's 800-723-7000. 8289.
When was the last time someone offered you a second chance to save thousands of dollars? If you owe the IRS or state at least $15,000, American Tax Relief is offering you a second chance to eliminate up to 85% of your delinquent taxes. Thousands of honest, hardworking Americans have turned to American Tax Relief for the help they need. Look, your tax problem isn't going to go away. In fact, it's only going to get worse unless you get help. Call 1-800-449-1415. For a one-time professional fee, American Tax Relief can get you the second chance you've never had before to save up to 85% on the taxes you owe. Get the second chance you deserve and save up to 85% on your delinquent taxes. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation to see how much money they can save you. Call 1-800-449-1415. That's 1-800-449-1415.
For free confidential small business advice, call SCORE at 800-634-0245 or log on to SCORE.org. Every year, thousands of people get help from SCORE when starting or growing their companies, and you can be one of them.
My SCORE counselor taught me how to create a business plan and make sound financial projections so that I could get a small business loan. I don't think I could have approached my bank so confidently without SCORE's help.
SCORE mentors can help with business planning, cash flow management, and market analysis.
My SCORE mentor walked me through the steps of identifying a market, researching the competition, pricing my product, and so much more.
Call SCORE at 800-634-0245 to meet with experts who have been in your shoes.
All I really needed was a sounding board for my ideas, someone I could trust. My SCORE counselor talked me through my business questions and gave me the courage I needed to expand.
If you're a small business owner or thinking about starting a company, call SCORE today, 800-634-0245, or visit SCORE.org for free confidential advice. SCORE is a nonprofit association and a resource partner with the U.S. Small Business Administration.
It's time to stop what you're doing and go red for women.
Go red.
Start loving your heart today. Visit goredforwomen.org.
Go red.
And take the Go Red Heart Checkup. Get to know your own heart.
Go red.
The American Heart Association invites you to help stop heart disease.
Go red.
To go red for women and give your heart the love it deserves.
My name is Teresa. I was a good mother. Then I tried meth and quickly became addicted. I abandoned my little girl to chase my next high. 8 months later, my daughter begged me to come home. Her plea made me enter drug treatment. My recovery wasn't easy, but I've been clean for 4 years now.
Meth is a powerful drug that affects everyone. If you know someone who's using, get involved. Treatment is available and it works. For more information, visit methresources.gov or call 800-662-HELP. Sponsored by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Live from Chicago, this is Bruce Dumont with our Beyond the Beltway analysis of national politics, featuring occasional injections of rumor and innuendo, all offered up by our panel of political insiders, pundits, power brokers, public servants, and most importantly, plain-speaking Americans from coast to coast. Tonight featuring commentary by Republican Dan Proft, Democrat Bob Cramer, political columnist Phil Kattner, and live reports from yours truly in St. Paul, Minnesota, site of the Republican National Convention. Now your guest host for tonight's program, political consultant and analyst for the morning news on WGN Television in Chicago, Chris Roebling.
Thanks very much, Bruce Dumont, and welcome everyone to Beyond the Beltway with Bruce Dumont. This is our second hour, and we're going to start with a phone call from the area that is being prepared for the arrival of Hurricane Gustav. We're going to talk to Stephen from Birmingham, Alabama, and he is listening to us on the great radio station WAPI. Stephen, welcome to the program. Tell us what kind of preparations are underway down there in Alabama.
Well, we already have a lot of people that are here from Louisiana. We have part of the students from Tulane. I think we actually even have the football the team here. We've opened up the state parks. Birmingham has a large medical center. We've made arrangements. We're doing everything possible to help those people, and we'll continue to do so. But my main point is for people to expect that a large government agency can handle problems. We're closer to the situation, and if you'll just make a comparison between what's happened on the Gulf Coast of Mississippi versus what happened in New Orleans, I know it was not the same magnitude, but people have to take responsibility themselves. We're not going to give $30 or $40 steaks to people, but I guarantee you that we will give them a place to live and shelter. And I've seen this happen in other places where we had the floods on the river.
Stephen, let me ask you this. You're in Birmingham, so you're a couple hundred miles inland. You're sort of in the center of Alabama. My question for you, when you talk about these preparations underway, medical center, state parks, and things like this, are you seeing, is government doing that, or is that being done purely at your local level?
It's being done on the state level with Governor Bob Riley, who's started several days ago, and it's also being done by our mayor here in Birmingham. It's being done on a local and state level, which is what is needed. And like I said, if you look at the way that it was handled when this happened before, and you've got people, spending money on, for all kind of things that had nothing to do with food and shelter, it just shows you that a lot of this has to be done locally. And by locally, I mean the states close by and so forth. And, and they have to take responsibility for themselves.
Steve, here's a question from Bob Kramer.
Sure.
Well, Steve, here's the thing. I mean, a hurricane, any kind of natural disaster really brings out the key difference between progressive values and those that are not. I mean, these involve episodes where we have to do things together. Everybody's affected together. And government...
Claiming that that's your province?
Government at all levels is what we call the things we try and have decided to do together.
Collectively.
Yes. And collectively. And it's a... this is a... And our response to things like this are, I think, the highest expression of... We're all in this together, not we're all in this alone, because nobody can really affect what happens to those hurricanes as they come in.
I agree. It is not a time for politics. It's not a time for somebody to say God caused this, or for somebody to say, or any outrageous thing like that. For example, if Huckabee was the nominee for McCain, I would not vote for him. Because I think he's so far out. All but what I'm saying is to expect to throw money at something, and all the abuses that took place the last time, and now it looks like we've got some different leadership, at least in Louisiana on the state level, and I agree, there's a place for all of it.
Terrific. Stephen, on that, we say thank you very much for reporting in. That was from Birmingham, Alabama, WAPI Radio, an affiliate that carries Beyond the Beltway with Bruce Dumont. We are monitoring the situation with Gustav, who is expected to make landfall, which is expected to make landfall tomorrow, Monday, about 1 o'clock. Currently looking like a line that goes from the southwest quadrant of the New Orleans, greater New Orleans area, up through Lafayette and Lake Charles, Louisiana, on up through Shreveport, maybe a little south of Shreveport, and then on into Dallas-Fort Worth by about Tuesday. So a lot of very difficult weather and conditions are ahead for all of our friends and neighbors and country people down there on the Gulf Coast. And that has certainly put a new spin on this week that was to be the Republican National Convention. I just wonder if it's – let's deal with this issue of Gustav and Katrina and New Orleans. Is it better for the does it remediate the image of the Republican Party and President Bush, for instance, if the – early indications prove out and the thing is handled well, and God, we pray to God that there are no injuries or fatalities. Does that help sort of alleviate some of the burden that the administration has been carrying for its sector of failures? Certainly there were some at the state and local level, but does that alleviate some of the burden that's been on Bush since that time, Phil Kadner?
I don't think so. I mean, this is a different episode, whatever happens, than the last time. You know, anybody who's been through a hurricane-devastated area can tell you that it is beyond imagining the kind of damage that a hurricane can do. And if any mayor or governor wants to pretend that he and he alone can control every eventuality, I think that's silly. What you need is everybody coming together in a situation like that. And the president, the buck used to stop at his desk. You know, I don't know when that ended. It still stops at his desk. Governors may be at fault, mayors may be at fault, but when thousands of people are suffering on national TV, the president's the guy who ultimately has to step in and say, I'm in control here.
Well, let me ask Dan the Republican, does the party, not to look at this purely in political terms, but this is a political talk show, and that is the reason we're asking this question, not for any callousness towards the imminent danger of our friends in the Gulf region. Does the party do better for itself with Bush and Cheney and Laura Bush not coming to the convention?
Honestly, I think it's marginal. I mean, I just think it's marginal. All these speeches at the convention, for the most part, especially with well-established figures like Bush and Cheney, kind of dissipate into the ether very quickly, I think. I think the more important thing, you know, one of the things on both sides of the aisle that always amazes me is that politicians never make a mistake. Politicians cannot simply say, you know what, last time we got it wrong. There's some things that we learned from last time that we corrected this time, and I wish I would have done it last time. I mean, so in other words, improving the performance this time, the American people are pretty forgiving people, especially when you lay it straight with them and you say, here's all the things that we did wrong last time, we learned this time, and that's why we had a better result. And I think forget Bush's popularity rating, stuff like that. I think anybody who has the courage to say a simple statement like that is going to get some political benefit in the public mind.
On the other side of this break, we're going to go back a few days to the Democratic convention. We must remember there was a Democratic convention and talk about Barack Obama and how well he did there, how well the Democrats did for themselves. That'll be in just a few minutes. The number 800-723-8289 at Beyond the Beltway with Bruce Dumont.
You've heard the horror stories about meth. It's a powerful, dangerous, and highly addictive drug that's having a serious impact on our communities and horrible effects on families across the country. But there is reason for hope. Treatment for meth addiction is available, and it works. All it takes is someone to care. If you know someone using meth, get involved and help them get on the path to recovery. For more information, visit methresources.gov or call 800-662-HELP. Sponsored by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
It's time to stop what you're doing and go red for women.
Go red.
Start loving your heart today. Visit goredforwomen.org.
Go red.
And take the Go Red Heart Checkup. Get to know your own heart.
Go red.
The American Heart Association invites you to help stop heart disease.
Go red.
To go red for women and give your heart the love it deserves.
Good Sunday evening to you. You are tuned in to Beyond the Beltway with Bruce Dumont. I am Chris Roebling sitting in for Bruce. He is up in the Twin Cities at the site of the Republican National Convention, and he'll be on shortly. We're going to take this segment to talk a little bit about the Democrats and the Democratic Convention, take a couple of phone calls, and then move on to talk to Bruce about the bottom of the hour. Let's start with the question, how did it go? And our resident Democrat tonight on the panel is Bob Kramer. Bob, how do you feel now that you've had a few days to think about it? Strengths and weaknesses, what was the success of this Democratic convention?
Well, in general, I think it was the best convention I've been to. I've been to six. And I think people's reactions probably correspond to that. The speech Thursday night, the polling showed that 58% thought that that speech was good or excellent, 35% excellent. And only 15% just okay, and 3% poor. I mean, that's pretty good rating. And 43%.
Well, and also it got a huge television rating.
38 million people, twice of what watched Kerry last time. And 43% say that it makes them more likely to vote for Obama, the whole convention. And 23% say less likely. And 19% say it won't matter. So those are pretty good numbers coming out of the convention.
People thought that giving so much time to the Clintons might backfire on Obama. Did it?
Not at all. I think anybody who really looked at the situation knew that their self-interest in Obama's were directly congruent. They had to show that they were completely with the party. And the fact that Bill Clinton got such a wonderful response from the delegates, I think, was helpful at bridging that gap that had developed through those primaries as well. I thought it was fundamentally a pumped up, fired up, ready to go convention.
All right. Phil Kadner, you were watching from the sidelines. Did you go out or were you watching from here?
I was watching on TV.
Okay. What do you think?
I thought there were more good points than bad points. I think the energy, a thing again, talking to people who watched it, the energy that they saw from the crowd there, they felt at home. I think they felt that this was more than just politics, that it was a real event. And I think that is the key to whether or not Obama eventually wins this campaign, is this feeling people get of excitement and enthusiasm, where it's not about any particular issue necessarily, but about this broader idea of this is something different. This is something we can all participate in. It's kind of all a national event. I think Hillary did her job solidifying the problems that Obama had with maybe the base. I don't think she does much for him with undecided people. I got to believe the Hillary voters are going to vote for Obama. I think the people who don't like Hillary probably aren't going to react very well to her speaking on behalf of Obama.
Dan, I want to ask you a question as a citizen patriot.
Yes, thank you for noticing.
You're one of four at this table, or one of three, I'll say. But here we go. Huge historic event, 45-year anniversary of the I Have a Dream speech, the first African-American nominee of a major political party. Do you think, as a conservative Republican, frequent critic of the Democrats and the Democratic Party and ideology, do you think the Democrats in this case met the demands of national history?
Oh, that's an interesting question. You know, I think about the Democratic convention and Obama's speech in particular. I thought, kind of to use Olympics parlance, since we're just out of that, I thought it scored well on artistry. I think the Obama folks and Axelrod, a good Chicagoan, and his folks are really good at staging events. I think Obama's a good speech giver from the lectern. But on the substance, I think it was lacking. I think it was very small. In its scope, I think Obama still has yet to present a second story beyond kind of unbounded hope that's based in something I'll tell you later. And I didn't think that it really tackled any of the big kind of the big schisms in this country or the big issues, race you bring up because of the I Have a Dream speech. So I thought it was very small. I thought it was very partisan. I thought it was a considerably more eloquent version of Joe Biden's speech.
Can you not admit that there was a certain, and I'm not saying that I liked it, but I mean, I recognize a certain grandeur in those final shots of that big stadium filled to capacity. I was thinking about what my parents told me about Franklin Roosevelt showing up down here at Soldier Field with 100,000 people, and I thought, I don't like what he's saying. I don't like Barack Obama. Personally, I think he's a great guy, but I don't like him as a candidate. But, I mean, wasn't there a certain grandeur?
No. I mean, I could see, like I said, I could see the point that the event was well done. Okay. I think he's a good speech giver. But on the substance of it, it was very small. And one other thing, too, just because Obama's folks get so much credit for the artistry and the presentation.
Well, Britney Spears' guy was
yes, right.
Which, I mean, that if you're dealing at the Britney Spears level, you know what you're doing.
McCain. Seriously. But McCain's people managed the media brilliantly. He did the commercial, which was very gracious after his speech, and then Sarah Palin. On Thursday completely blunted the after impact of that speech. And for the next several weeks, outside of Gustav, of course, people are going to be talking about who is the Sarah Palin, and you know, I want to know more about her.
And they're going to say, "How do we pronounce
her name?"
First, on a question of specifics,
even citizen patriots will be asking.
I mean, I don't know what speech you were listening to. I mean, this is a very specific speech about very specific embodiments
for
of
example,
what he meant by change. He talked about energy independence. He talked about changing
specifically
our economy. He had a comprehensive proposal.
What
he
was
set
it?
Out with respect.
Well, what was it?
What it was?
When Mills in 10 years?
Okay.
What it was a commitment to for energy independence from the Middle East in 10 years through all of the alternatives that John McCain systematically opposed throughout his tenure in the Senate.
All right. Now we're going to go to Chuck, who is listening to us in Grand Rapids, the Greater Grand Rapids area, on the wonderful radio station WOOD. Chuck, tell us your reaction to the Democratic convention confab and how you think it went. There you go. I'm asking a question, and there's no guy.
What a commentary.
Chuck, talk to me now. Here.
All right. I'm there now?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Yeah, I'm an Obama supporter. I like the convention. I especially like Bill Clinton's speech. I thought he was so concise and succinct in bringing together all the issues. I thought he was the best of the week, and I'm a supporter there. So I didn't want to spend too much time on that. What I did want to do was kind of make a challenge to the progressives, and people are going to think that I'm not one, but my opinion is I'm really disappointed on how we, as extensions of the Obama campaign, whether we're talking to coworkers or whether you're talking heads on the radio, I wish we'd get off of these small, little, petty issues. Progressives are supposed to be better than that. We're supposed to be honest. We're supposed to be intelligent. We're supposed to have some dialogue, and I think to discount, Sarah Palin, we will do so at our own peril. We talk about foreign policy experience. Well, would anybody have asked that question of Mitt Romney or Tim Pawlenty? Do they have any more foreign policy experience than she does? Don't any of us as Americans, when we rise to that level, we come to our own channels, and you create a sense of your intelligence and your heart, and you trust your advisors, and you know you don't walk into D.C. in a vacuum. And I wish we'd get off of how many houses McCain had and these stupid things, because the way we win is to win the hearts and minds of independents. And every time we go into these stupid things, we're just losing them. I expect the right to do it. I hope they keep doing it because I want to beat them. But I'm challenging those of us on the left to be smarter and better.
Chuck, thank you for that call. Bob, you have a book out on how progressives can win.
Right.
Is that not, tell us the name of your book.
Listen to Your Mother, Stand Up Straight, How Progressives Can Win.
And Listen to Your Mother, Stand Up Straight, How Progressives Can Win, and it's available now at Amazon.
Yeah, right, and Barnes & Noble and everything. And I agree fundamentally with the caller that this is an election about big issues and big ideas. I will say, though, that, for instance, things like the seven houses and his inability to remember are breakthrough in people's consciousness.
Okay. How many houses do you have?
How many houses do I have? Because the reason is because it embodies for people that he's out of touch, which is an extremely important issue. I mean, he hangs out with people like Phil Graham, whose view of the economy is that we're all whiners. And that
Barack hangs out with George Soros, who hates America.
How about Bill Ayers, who hates America?
Wright, Reverend Wright.
They don't write his economic program.
I'd like to take the caller's call a step further. I'd like to see, you know, Americans admit that we can have two candidates who are both qualified, who both love their country, who both represent what the best of this country is, and neither one of them is an evil man. Neither
Absolutely.
One is a terrible man.
Yeah, I'd like
and,
that,
and
too.
And I'm just tired of this constant thing of, you know, the Republican has to be a lousy guy, the Democrat has to be unpatriotic. There comes a time when you got to say, hey, you know, these people are qualified people, and they're good people, and they've come through the process.
But one thing about the caller made two good points.
Chuck from Grand Rapids.
Chuck made two good points about Sarah Palin, probably from a different perspective than I'm going to tackle it. But one is that nobody is prepared to be president, and nobody's prepared to be vice president.
Yeah.
You grow into the job. I mean, that's the
Truman
reality.
Truman said it. Johnson said it. And no one has any idea what it's like when that
And number two, the treatment that Sarah Palin is getting.
Yeah.
If it would have been Barack Obama picking a female,
right.
A completely different conversation.
Yeah,
it would have
been
historic
gorgeous,
change.
Yeah.
What a courageous decision. And instead, she is getting, you know, every knife, every catty remark, basically, from people like Tom Daschle and all the other surrogates doing the Sunday morning talk shows.
Certainly not from Barack Obama. But
he sends out his henchmen.
Let's be very clear that's not his view. His view is exactly that. There is neither of these candidates are unpatriotic. That's absolutely
Who's talking about anything about unpatriotic?
Well,
nobody
the implication has certainly been from McCain that he's unpatriotic.
And I'm not
arguing that McCain is not a good person. He is.
Okay.
What we are arguing, there are fundamental differences in direction. Do we want more of the same, or do we want fundamental change? That's the issue of the election.
And you've just heard the issue of the election on Beyond the Beltway with Bruce Dumont. My name is Chris Roebling, sitting in for Bruce. We're going to hear from him after this break, and then we're going to devote ourselves to your phone calls. If you've been on the line, we're going to get to you. I'm telling you, people, you're going to get on the air, and thank you for listening so far. We've also got a Gustav watch underway, and we will keep you posted if it transforms itself into a Category 4 storm while we are on the air. It's Beyond the Beltway with Bruce Dumont.
When was the last time someone offered you a second chance to save thousands of dollars? If you owe the IRS or state at least $15,000, American Tax Relief is offering you a second chance to eliminate up to 85% of your delinquent taxes. Thousands of honest, hardworking Americans have turned to American Tax Relief for the help they need. Look, your tax problem isn't going to go away. In fact, it's only going to get worse unless you get help. Call 1-800-449-1415. For a one-time professional fee, American Tax Relief can get you the second chance you've never had before to save up to 85% on the taxes you owe. Get the second chance you deserve and save up to 85% on your delinquent taxes. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation to see how much money they can save you. Call 1-800-449-1415. That's 1-800-449-1415.
Good evening, everybody. It's Beyond the Beltway with Bruce Dumont. I am Chris Roebling, guest hosting for Bruce, but he is with us now over the phone. Bruce is calling in from the Twin Cities, where he is covering the Republican National Convention. Bruce, what's going on up there?
Well, people are still partying here, albeit in a very conservative manner. And still the discussion in all the people that I've spoken with is about the vice presidential choice. And I would say since we last spoke about an hour ago, I would say that some of the enthusiasm is growing. It was very strong with women when I spoke an hour ago, and there was some reservations from some of the more senior Republicans with a little more gray in their hair than you have. And I would say an hour later, it's the support is growing.
And
they're getting used to it. They're getting used to the fact that a Republican vice president is not going to be wearing a blue suit.
Well, that would be a change.
We've got a conversation raging here around the table, both on and off the air, about the significance of the change issue, the judgment issue, and the experience issue. Let me just ask you straight up, Bruce. Did this cut off the whole experience issue from John McCain's armory?
No, because I think people are going to vote on the on the presidential level. So they're going to make the whatever the issue is, they're going to decide it on the presidential level, not on the vice presidential level.
Well, you know, Bruce, I agree with that, but I think the problem this raises for McCain is are two. One is people will have to think at a man this age that this person might end up being president, and can they picture that? And the second thing is that it really cuts off his ability to attack Obama on the experience question and makes the fundamental nexus of this campaign change versus more of the same, which is exactly where Obama wants the race to be.
I'll let Bruce weigh in on that.
I guess the question I would say is, I agree with you. I think it deflects the power of the of certainly the experience issue, but on the issue of change, I don't believe that trying to say that the first 4 years of John McCain is an extension of the last eight of George Bush. I don't buy that. I don't think.
How would it be different, Bruce? How would it be different from the standpoint of either foreign policy or economic policy? It'll be trickle-down economics. He's bought into it all.
I think the difference is the difference in the two men, and I think the people that are going to surround him. And I also think that it's likely, in my view. And again, I don't think he's necessarily going to utter the words, and I don't think that necessarily would be strong. But in John McCain's mind, I think he is prepared to be a one-term president. If that is the judgment of history, because I think first and foremost, I think he wants to go in, and I think he wants to tip over the apple cart, and he now has an accomplice that wants him to do that.
You know, the people that surround him, though, Bruce, are all these lobbyists that have run Washington for years. Rick Davis is straight out of Karl Rove's crew.
There are lobbyists with Barack Obama. I mean, there are lobbyists all over the...
Most of the people who run his campaign are lobbying firms that lobby for people like foreign countries and the biggest corporations in America. They run his campaign.
I share that concern, but you know what? I'll bet very few, if not any, of those lobbyists that you've just decried, I'll bet that none of them suggested that he pick Sarah Palin. That came from John McCain's innate maverickness.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the story, I mean, we all saw the New York Times coverage of it this morning, and it appears as though in the final round, there was no one pushing for Sarah Palin except John McCain. There were people who were united behind Romney. Other people were united behind Pawlenty, some behind Ridge. The whole Lieberman thing fell apart when they did the polling and focus grouping. And so he then... you know, went down the list and said, "This is where I'm headed." Phil,
I think in his mind, I think he wants this. He wants to be the new Teddy Roosevelt. I think he's going to run like Teddy Roosevelt. You know, and Teddy had one term and then ran into problems.
Interesting. Interesting. So you mean making the big decisions, really try to do something about Social Security. It's always been considered the third rail. You might he might want to go in and try to do that have that as his legacy.
He wants to privatize it, just like George Bush. That's what he said. Privatize Social Security. As seniors find that out, I mean, every policy, fundamental policy he has proposed are Bush policies. They'll be just the same gang,
You know, I know that that is the
dress
line.
Dress it up, but that's what it is.
I know that's the line.
That's a mantra.
Okay,
you can
line. It's a mantra.
You could ask Bob what the weather is outside, and he's going to recite that mantra.
All right. But my question is, do we not all understand that McCain has always been his own guy, and he has there is an argument to be made that the places where he has opposed George Bush in the last 4-6 years are the areas where George Bush actually has changed George Bush's policies to get closer to McCain and then had success, such as the surge, which I know in your lexicon, Bob, doesn't exist. But isn't that true?
Well, not to mention policies that have angered the base. Obviously, or some base voters, what he's done in immigration, campaign finance reform, stem cell. I mean, again, this is somebody, that's the whole thing. And that's why the Sarah Palin choice, again, is so profound. Because forget the experience thing. That is not the crux of this election. The crux of this election is, to not put not too fine a point on it, kind of change. And to say that Sarah Palin represents another example of John McCain following the George Bush model is laughable on its face. And that's why the importance of the decision.
I think something else he also has to do. Again, this is what he's got to guard against. I think this issue, in my view, was more about politics than it was about policy initially, and I think that's something that John McCain has got to have an answer for. But I think something else that is likely to happen between now and Election Day to address the issue of the heartbeat away issue, and that is, it would not surprise me if he selects and announces a Secretary of Defense, a Secretary of State, so the American people will know that if there is ever a president to be Palin, that she will be surrounded by experts who know the ins and outs of foreign policy and military preparedness.
Phil Kadner.
I can't help thinking that the Palin thing always comes back to reflecting on McCain's leadership, McCain's judgment. And if McCain's an agent for change, as Dan says, I haven't really heard him campaign that way. I think his record says that, but I don't think he's campaigned that way at all. I think he's campaigned on, I'll be the Republican Party's candidate, and I'll do all the traditional things the Republican Party has done. I think his history is quite different than that. I think he's been more of a maverick within his own party than Obama has. I think he has done more to change the way the government is run than Obama has. But I think all those things are the reasons he never got the Republican nomination before, and those are all the things he's now been running against.
But I think, Phil, I think that's the lesson that John McCain learned coming out of Denver. I think he realized, you know, the focus group that said America wants change, we have seen what that message does. It propelled Barack Obama to the Democratic nomination. And yet, when Barack Obama had to make his first choice, he selected a very safe choice in Joe Biden.
Right.
He did not indicate that he was interested in change in that respect. He was trying to beef up something that he understood was a weakness in the public's perception about him.
No, but
I think the lesson that was learned was that McCain said, wait a minute, there's something to this change thing, and you know what? I've tried to be a change agent, and you know what? The only way I can do this is I'm going to go way outside the Beltway, and I'm going to pick Sarah Palin as my running mate. I think we are in the early stages of change. The next piece of change is this convention isn't going to be like it is in the past, and I would say that the potential, and I want to stress, the potential of the images coming out on television for the next week, given Hurricane Gustav, those powerful images potentially could be very helpful to the Republican ticket.
On the change issue, they could emphasize the change theme. It could thematically
I'm talking about taking charge. I'm talking about being out there. He's not gonna draw 85,000 people and wow them in a speech in Denver. He can't compete at that level.
Right.
But the issue of nature, Mother Nature right now, and we don't know what the images of the next 4 days are going to be like. But it is potential that the imagery that comes out of that will be beneficial to the Republicans, either because the way that they handle this is so much better than they did with Katrina. But there's an opportunity for John McCain and Sarah Palin to show a side of an activist leadership, and absent the fact that Bush and Cheney are not coming to Minneapolis, that in itself is a message for...
Well, you know, I agree with you, Bruce, that that's a big plus that comes out of this potential tragedy.
Right.
And frankly, I hope that it's handled well, even if that's a problem for the Democrats, because I think it's that's all what we ought to all want. And
right.
that's certainly
and
what Barack Obama has expressed.
Right.
You know, change, and they've decided, clearly have decided that change is Trump's experience. No doubt about it. That was an admission that the fundamental narrative of his campaign is a failure, and he needs to try and morph himself into a change candidate. No doubt about it. But you can't do it if you're not going to address the fundamental policies.
But didn't Barack
of the Bush administration.
Go ahead, Bruce.
I'm just saying, if a 72-year-old man can change, that's a positive.
Right.
Well, change or flip flop. I mean, there's no question that John McCain.
As long as he's not changing his diapers, he's okay.
There's no question that John McCain has shown his willingness to change his views if it is to his political advantage. He's shown that quite a number of times, mostly by becoming more like George Bush.
Well, Bruce, we're gonna take our leave here of you in just a second. But if anything breaks up there, please call back, will you?
I'll call back, but right now I'm gonna just head over and see if they have anything dietetic at the sweet table.
It's Bruce Dumont on his own program, Beyond the Beltway. My name's Chris Roebling. I'm sitting in for Bruce while he does some news gathering up in the Twin Cities. After this break, we are going to go burning through these calls. People who have been waiting, you're going to get on the air for a few seconds at least. So be prepared to make your point quickly. The program again, Beyond the Beltway with Bruce Dumont. Thanks for listening.
For free confidential small business advice, call SCORE at 800-634-0245 or log on to score.org. Every year, thousands of people get help from SCORE when starting or growing their companies, and you can be one of them.
My SCORE counselor taught me how to create a business plan and make sound financial projections so that I could get a small business loan. I don't think I could have approached my bank so confidently without SCORE's help.
SCORE mentors can help with business planning, cash flow management, and market analysis.
My SCORE mentor walked me through the steps of identifying a market, researching the competition, pricing my product, and so much more.
Call SCORE at 800-634-0245 to meet with experts who have been in your shoes.
All I really needed was a sounding board for my ideas, someone I could trust. My SCORE counselor talked me through my business questions and gave me the courage I needed to expand.
If you're a small business owner or thinking about starting a company, call SCORE today, 800-634-0245, or visit score.org for free confidential advice. SCORE is a nonprofit association and a resource partner with the U.S. Small Business Administration.
Good Sunday evening to you. You've tuned in to Beyond the Beltway with Bruce Dumont. You may be listening to us on POTUS 08, Channel 130 with XM Radio, soon to be XM Sirius Radio, or you may be listening on one of these fine radio stations around the country. We're going to go through these calls very quickly. We want all of our callers to make their point very succinctly, and then we'll talk to the people at the desk here. We're privileged to have Dan Proft, Bob Kramer, and Phil Kadner along tonight. We also want to report, as soon as this program is over, please go turn on the Weather Channel, because there are now reports of individual small tornadoes spinning out of the outer reaches of Hurricane Gustav, which is continuing to bear down on the Gulf Coast. Right now in Meridian, Idaho, KBOI Radio. Bob, your point very quickly.
Hi. When Barack Obama had a chance to do change in Chicago, he chose Stroger as a county commissioner.
Stroger, excuse me.
And I'd like to hear the Democrats explain that. That wasn't change, was it?
Thank you, Bob. Bob Kramer, was Stroger the change agent?
I agree. You're right about that. I back personally Forrest Claypool in a primary. In the general election, however, I will tell you, he and I both supported Stroger over the Republican, who we thought would have been a bad choice.
To Fort Wayne, Indiana, WOWO Radio. David, your point very quickly, please.
When I listened to John McCain on that interview in that church out there in California a couple weeks ago.
The Saddleback Church. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was such an excellent interview, and he talked about his stand on right to life. That's important with me.
Okay.
Also, the Supreme Court justices. We don't need any more Ginsburgs on the Supreme Court. And then the border still is a concern.
Are you liking Sarah Palin from Alaska?
Yes.
Okay.
Wonderful.
All right. That is David. Thank you, David, for that contribution. Eric, Louisville, Kentucky, listening on XM POTUS 08, Channel 130. Go ahead, Eric, very quickly.
I'm a Republican, and this is absolutely, what are you guys smoking? Sarah Palin is a joke. It's an absolute joke. I mean, I wanted Mitt Romney. Sarah Palin, come on. I mean, you can spin it any way you want to spin it and say, oh, it's, last week you weren't saying experience didn't matter, so now you're going to change it in the middle of the game. It makes you look like a flip-flopper. It makes you look like a phony. Last week you were just saying that, oh, it's all about experience. Now you're going to say, well, no one ever can be prepared to be president. I mean, listen, the problem is you can't run against Barack Obama. You wind up looking like Hillary Clinton, like McCain is going to fall in the same trap she fell into. First, she started off as experienced, and she changed into something else, and that's what McCain is doing. First, he's experienced. Now he's a reformer. Okay. How are you going to reform something with an all-Democratic Congress? Get out of here, McCain. Let Obama, I'm taking Obama, and then let Bobby General be ready then in 2012. McCain is a joke. Right. This whole pick is a joke.
All right. That is the feeling deeply held of Eric in Louisville, Kentucky. Now to Newcastle, Pennsylvania, listening to us on the Big Boomer WKBN. Fred, tell us what's on your mind.
I promise I'll be brief.
Thank you.
I won't be like Joe Biden.
Uh-oh.
Biden's
I was recollecting 1996 when Bob Dole ran. He was 72, and he was a war vet, and he lost.
Yeah. Yeah. I was feeling a little bit like that before Palin came along, but that is an insightful observation as well from Fred out in Newcastle, Pennsylvania. Now, across the country to Salinas, Kansas. Let me slip away in Salinas. This is from me and Bobby McGee. How do we say Salinas? Hello. We're going to find out from our friend Mark. I think I just cut him off. Sorry about that, Mark. We'll go to Carlos, though, down in Houston, Texas. Houston might get some of Gustav. So, Carlos, good to have you on, listening via XM Radio. What's on your mind?
Hello, this is Mark in Salinas, California.
Oh fabulous. Sorry about that.
Okay. First off, I won't vote for either McCain or Barack Obama. I think they're both frauds. And Barack Obama's mantra of change is ridiculous. He's going to add another $1 trillion of spending to the federal government budget. What kind of change does that represent? To me, it sounds like same old big government that we're getting from Democrats and Republicans. And I'll say this. Bruce is up in St. Paul.
Yes.
I hope he travels across the river to Minneapolis to the Target Center where the Campaign for Liberty is going on, because people there are talking about real change for the American people.
And that's the Ron Paul group. They are meeting across the Mississippi River in the great city of Minneapolis. So thank you.
No, I, Thanks.
All right. Thanks very much for that contribution. Jerry is calling us from Oak Park, listening on WLS right here in Chicago. Jerry, tell us what's on your mind. Hello, Jerry. I am really working this button here, and I'm gonna say, Jerry, we'll get back to you. Let's try Daniel out in Redding, California. The phone lines are burning up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've watched with interest the speeches and all that, and still the thing I'm not seeing is what things are actually truly going to change by Barack. And, you know, I'd like to see some good, solid policy statements and those types of things. I need to get them out there. You know, I have not made my decision. I think that Joe Biden was probably a very strong choice for him, but, you know, and I respect him a lot. On the same token, I want to see the Republicans do the same thing. You know, we're out here, we're the consumers. We need to find out exactly what the product's going to be, and right now they're not giving it to us.
I just say go to BarackObama.com. There are massive numbers of policy positions all there for your perusal.
Thank you, Daniel from Redding, California, listening on KQMS. Now we found Carlos again down in Houston. Carlos, tell us what's on your mind.
Yes, sir. I used to hate John McCain until Friday, and Taleb is the banner of the conservative, and I can't wait till the liberal idiots try to put her down. That'll just make us conservatives go out like foot soldiers and get and drag everybody into the election booth and make John McCain the next president.
But step,
I dare them.
Carlos,
Carlos,
step one for you is to protect yourself against Gustav down there in Houston. We've got time for a very quick from Jerry in Oak Park. I'm really hoping to get you, Jerry. I'm trying, and I'm not sure. Jerry, are you there? No, I don't think so. Jerry did not. Line 7, we're going to have to report that to the log, to the fix-it log. 7:55, you have been listening to Beyond the Beltway with Bruce Dumont. Sitting in for Bruce this week, Chris Roebling. I want to thank everybody on the panel. Bob Kramer, Phil Kadner from the Daily Southtown, Dan Proft. Thank you, guys. Great to have you on. A lot to look at this week, huh? We've got a lot of coverage of the terrible hurricane and a lot of coverage of the rejiggered Republican National Convention. We'll look forward to having you all back on the program real soon. Thanks very much, and listen again next week.
When was the last time someone offered you a second chance to save thousands of dollars? If you owe the IRS or state at least $15,000, American Tax Relief is offering you a second chance to eliminate up to 85% of your delinquent taxes. Thousands of honest, hardworking Americans have turned to American Tax Relief for the help they need. Look, your tax problem isn't going to go away. In fact, it's only going to get worse unless you get help. Call 1-800-449-1415 for a one-time professional fee. American Tax Relief can get you the second chance you've never had before to save up to 85% on the taxes you owe. Get the second chance you deserve and save up to 85% on your delinquent taxes. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation to see how much money they can save you. Call 1-800-449-1415. That's 1-800-449-1415.
For free confidential small business advice, call SCORE at 800-634-0245 or log on to score.org. Every year, thousands of people get help from SCORE when starting or growing their companies, and you can be one of them.
My SCORE counselor taught me how to create a business plan and make sound financial projections so that I could get a small business loan. I don't think I could have approached my bank so confidently without SCORE's help.
SCORE mentors can help with business planning, cash flow management, and market analysis.
My SCORE mentor walked me through the steps of identifying a market, researching the competition, pricing my product, and so much more.
Call SCORE at 800-634-0245 to meet with experts who have been in your shoes.
All I really needed was a sounding board for my ideas, someone I could trust. My SCORE counselor talked me through my business questions and gave me the courage I needed to expand.
If you're a small business owner or thinking about starting a company, call SCORE today, 800-634-0245, or visit score.org for free confidential advice. SCORE is a nonprofit association and a resource partner with the U.S. Small Business Administration. We'll be right back.